All right, at 16 in front of 6 o'clock, we just can't wait to get to the best 5 minutes of the day. It's the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB, temperature at 55. Let's check in with our buddy, Dr. Jason Kanz, in month 8 of these early morning visits. I mean, I just think you're going to do this, aren't you?
I am. It's great. As my daughter reminds me, it's also month 8 of her not eating red meat. So we've been running on the same schedule, I guess, just for different things.
Tessa. Yes, your daughter Tessa, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, my 11-year-old has decided no red meat. So
she's a wonderful
she's
young
stuck with it.
She's a wonderful young lady. So
yeah, you're like second family to her.
We are, yeah.
So I think
we know her.
I think she likes to spend as much time with you guys as she does with us.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I was watching some, and maybe we'll get some audio of this. Sharon Hirsch, Chuck DeGroat, they did a webcast yesterday, Belonging, What Does the Church Need? Had some technical difficulties that didn't go out live, but go to Sharon Hirsch's Facebook page, and you can add, it's good, rich content. She did another one on therapy and her book, Belonging, I think with a guy named Jim Caulfield last night. But one of the lines that, again, I apologize. I mean, I have not read this wholeheartedness in from Chuck DeGroat, and you've talked about it. I mean, that's been one of the books that just changed your direction, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that's been probably one of the more influential books in terms of how I currently think, maybe the most influential, just in terms of understanding the notion of wholeness and kind of what we're called to be. And I think it's been... I've gone back to it again and again and again, and I just like the way Chuck thinks about a lot of different things.
Yeah, no, he seems really good. And one of the lines he quoted Walter Brueggemann, and I guess in terms of this time we're going through during COVID and the pandemic. And by the way, yesterday's numbers in Wisconsin, 404—that's the fewest positive test results in more than a month. So that's good. That's encouraging.
That is great. Yeah.
But
yeah.
This word of disorientation, and I think that's really—we were talking yesterday. I liked our dialogue about. Our rhythms, our relationship rhythms have been off. And again, yeah. Boy, disorientation, a good word, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know, you mentioned Walter Brueggemann. He wrote a book called, or about the Psalms, where he talks about orientation, disorientation, reorientation in the Psalms. And I think sometimes we forget that things like disorientation, where things are confusing and turned upside down, those are part of the normal rhythms of life. We don't like them, and I don't think any of us seek them out. But I think those seasons of disorientation allow us maybe to appreciate the things or the times when things are operating well, to appreciate those more. And the Psalms speak to that deeply, and I suspect that's partly what Chuck was touching on. I haven't listened to it yet, but I think that's probably where he was going.
Well, and then also dialoguing this idea about that suggesting God works best in the dark. And I think about Larry Crabb. We're fans of 66 Love Letters, and his for Second Chronicles is one of my favorite chapter titles. Real trust develops in the dark. Listen. We don't want them to turn the lights off. And yet, in so many ways, in this time of disorientation, yeah, I, as a child of God, as a son of God through faith in Christ, I'm feeling like somebody turned the lights on, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's somebody turned the lights on. But if we're honest, I think it's also, God, where are you and what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to ask those questions. I think as Christians, sometimes we get afraid to ask hard questions. You know, we become uncomfortable saying, God, I don't like this. Where are you? What are you doing? I think you're mishandling this. You know, God is, he's not, but that's what it feels like. And and I think it's okay for us to express that. I think God is big enough that he can handle our anger, our fear, our confusion, our disorientation.
My friend, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you finish. Well, my friend Todd Lenz spoke the sermon in Bethesda on Sunday, and we had it here in the 11 o'clock hour, WWIB. I heard it coming home from the church service you and I were both at in Chippewa Falls. And the last 15 to 20 minutes, I want to go to the Bethesda website and get to the whole thing. It was on Jonah, but near the end, he was talking about the fact that, you know, from day to day, we just don't know. And for quite a while, and it continues to be this way. I mean, it's just like shots of information and directives are going off in multiple levels from the nationally to city, county, state, and it's even continuing here this morning where we've got in the news Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate Majority Leader, is saying he wants to reconvene. They're working on. They believe the mask mandate was illegal, and we're not going to get into all that. But and then on the other level, you had the Eau Claire School Board last night unanimously voting that the whole school year you're going to have to wear, everybody's wearing a mask. And so it's just like, I imagine that could be adjusted. But again, you and out of all that, people really struggling amidst that confusion, really struggling with hope, you know?
Yeah, spot on. And I think, again, wherever we're at on any of these issues, to be able to come back to that question and say, God, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And do we trust in the dark where we're at right now that what he's doing is precisely what is needed, or what he's allowing is precisely
right.
what is needed to improve our hope and trust?
And let's end on this, and it's just something we go back to time and time, as does Larry Crabb, this idea of first and second things. C.S. Lewis had said it, right? If you keep first things first, you get first and second things. But if you put second things first, you miss out on first and second things. And Sharon Hirsch brought it up in this webcast yesterday where she talked. And the second things of, again, as important as they are to us, these creature comforts. But when we're put under pressure, when we're put in the dark, we find out what have we been making, and I'm going to say it, the I word, idol of. And again, God himself, Jason, he alone is the first thing, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And hopefully this will strip away those second things so we can see God more clearly.
Today's segment will be titled Dealing with Disorientation. We wish you the best. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
There we go. Jason Kanz, he helps us just trying to get a handle on the day here or early in the morning. I hope you like it. I like it that we talk to him. All right, we got the birthday boy on the line here on WWIB. Now, there's a lot of folks with birthdays today, as we recounted a little bit ago. But let's go to Brian. Brian Christensen, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you so much.
How old are you today?
I am 42.
42. How did that happen? That's just snap of the fingers, huh?
Snap of the fingers. I mean, it does. It feels like just yesterday I was walking out of high school, kind of college, and here I am now, and probably going to be walking the kids into high school before I know it.
Yeah, yeah. You are an alum of what year then at Eau Claire North?
1996.
Mm-hmm. And you were a wrestler and football player in high school?
Yes. I mean, I was on both the teams. I don't know. You could say I competed much, but
I saw our friend Perry's post of your birthday. But here's the thing I wanted to ask. This is, I see a long list of Facebook birthdays. You're not one of them. You apparently don't indicate on your Facebook page that today's your birthday.
Yes, I keep that hidden from the normal public.
Well, we're exposing it this morning. Well, we have a special song for you. Now, when I think of you, I think of fun. That's what I said, and you embody that. You have livened up many people's wedding day, including our friends Pat and Christina last July. You're one of the best wedding DJs ever. So,
well, thank you.
And you have been a puppeteer for the Green Monster, but this is a song for you today.
You're older than you've ever been, and now you're even older, and now you're even older, and now you're even older. You're older than you've ever been, and now you're even older, and now you're older still.
There you go.
I love it. Thanks, Mark.
Early on your birthday. Have a great one, Brian.
You as well.
All right.
Okay, so we've talked about these mystery seeds from China. Now, I have not received any. Mm-hmm. Have either
no,
of
we
you?
No, we haven't. No.
I don't have any, personal friends or even social media friends that have actually received them as mm-hmm. of yet either. But I've heard about them mm-hmm. getting delivered here and there. Well, a guy in Boonville, Arkansas, decided he'd plant them.
Mm.
And it sounds like he planted them early on. So they've been growing in his garden for 2 months. Now, the Arkansas Department of Agriculture is unsure what kind of plant it is and plans to remove it. However, it does say that the plant has a large white fruit and orange flowers, much resembling a squash plant. So,
okay.
I don't know. What is it? It's so weird.
It is weird. I mean, the concern of it being like
an invasive
plant
species,
that can destroy other potential crops. And that, you know, has anybody given much stock to the fact that China just wanted to be nice? They just wanted to send us flower seeds.
I'm paranoid enough. I don't think that's the case.
While driving out and about yesterday, I heard one station report that, it was actually a company that wants to sell these seeds on Amazon. And so they sent them for free, hoping that Americans would give favorable reviews to them when they actually show up for purchase.
That's a bad idea.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Right now, it's just kind of like, anything free. It's like there's always a cost.
Anything's possible. The idea is if you do get them or you did get them, I mean, the advice is don't plant them.
Don't plant them. Yeah. And I don't know what to do with them because, you know, if you throw them in the landfill, they could grow there, too. I mean, don't flush them. Don't plant them. Burn them. You must burn them.
Yes.
Turn them in and let someone else figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, my. So, yeah, don't plant the seeds. But if you do, large white fruit. I don't think I'd be brave enough to eat the large white fruit on there.
Not in 2020.
It's not a good idea.
So I was a bit weary yesterday. I mean, I woke up like 2:30 in the morning, hadn't been able to fall back asleep. So there was that. But in our made a stop home midday. Mm-hmm. And we have a fenced-in backyard. We've adjusted the fence now so that my daughter, Grace, can park on the right side of our garage. And so I was leaving the house, heading back to my sales job at One Source Imaging, and I'm trying to go over the fence, and my shoe gets caught, and it was just kind of a point where I went down.
Oh.
And,
I mean,
no.
The fence shook. I mean, yeah, there's still repercussions on the leg. I can feel some of the bruising and things. And I was like, I thought for sure, like, my wife would have heard it and come. There was no reaction. Later in the day, I will note, I did mention to her, I'm like, yeah, I tripped over the fence. And I said, one of my daughters did too today. And she's like, oh, that's why the fence is loose. So I was like, it was not, are you okay? It was like, that's why the fence is loose. I'm like,
nice.
Yeah. But then making the day, then I get in my car, I'm driving back, I go down the Madison Street Hill, I'm taking a left, and there is a driver, I don't want to say anything, it's just a male driver, and he was in where I'm supposed to turn into. Like, he was going to turn left, okay? But he already left his lane, and he was, like, over where I was supposed to go with my vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And I'm driving, and I'm like, where do you want me to go?
Right.
There's other cars in the other lane. And finally, I back up some.
Uh-huh.
I guess he proceeded on with his turn. And then I see the eyes of the woman behind him. She was like, I don't know. So I was like, that's a crazy 5 minutes of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, 2020.
Why not?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. It's just unrelenting. It's good times.
How was your Monday?
I almost fell down a waterfall. But
nice.
Oh,
but
how
I
was
didn't.
That?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Willow River?
Yeah. It was wonderful. And yeah, so no, there was a 5-year-old who wanted to climb up and had just would not be denied the opportunity to climb up. But then on the way back down, wasn't as confident going down. And it was really slippery. And Dad saw his life flash before his eyes once or twice. But we got down and we're all right. So
still alive. Wow.
Just slopping in the pig pen on a Tuesday morning on the Whip Wake Up Show.
Do you broadcast from a barn?
Oh,
not always, but we would.
But I would happily. All right, who's going?
Go ahead.
I'm so derailed by all the side effects.
Well, we know that dogs are exceptionally sociable animals. Pet owners know that their furry friends love to interact and talk with people and look to humans when they need to get some help. So are these social qualities a unique trait, or do other domesticated animals communicate with people in the same way? Researchers in Hungary say that while both pigs and dogs interact with humans the same way in normal situations, pigs are stubbornly independent creatures and less likely to look at their owners to solve a problem.
Really?
Like dogs.
Okay.
As large as pigs get, I don't know that I want a stubbornly independent pig.
Although It goes on to talk about miniature pigs being raised in a similar environment as family dogs. And I have to say, I had a landlord when I lived over in Wausau who had, like, miniature pigs, like a pot-belly pig in their house. And they would just wander around. And I was like, really? You like, scoff at us having pets in our apartment, but you're living with a pig. But whatevs, peeps. You're fine. Yeah, they had pet pigs.
I mean, isn't it like the Vietnamese pot-bellied pigs? Those are the ones for the pets. Yeah.
They're incredibly intelligent, so.
That's what they tell me.
I would be interested if any of our listeners have a pet pig. Let's hear from you in the listener line, 715-396-1670. Rob
Pictures
Larson and I, years ago, this is one of the grossest things I ever did in this job. We kissed a pig. I mean,
nice.
It was a fundraiser for Apple Pregnancy Care Center. I still remember the Saturday, beautiful Saturday in the park. I think we were at Carson Park at the time. And
kissed a pig.
The pig had been bathed the night before, and it still stunk to high heaven.
Mm.
Whose idea was this?
Yeah, it's a terrible idea.
But we
wanted to help Apple.
Right.
Sure.
And so Rod and I and Melinda all
kissed a
did
pig.
The deed.
I kissed a stingray once. That was interesting. They're a little slimy.
I kissed my wife before I left this morning, and that's about all I want my lips to touch.
We have two pigs, but they're guinea pigs, and they're furry and adorable, and we like to say we're hog farmers. Gotta slop the hogs.
So you're telling me you wouldn't kiss a pig for a great nonprofit cause?
I absolutely would kiss a pig.
Sure you would.
I've kissed
worse. Maybe that's something we need to work towards. We need to get Caleb and Hillary. What cause should we get behind that they would kiss a pig to help raise money for a charity?
I'll tell you, it wouldn't take much. I like pigs. They're cute. They have little snoots and curly tails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You keep telling yourself that, okay?
Replay this on the podcast later. Just for archival purposes and for proof.
I can't wait.
That'll do.
WWIB, 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. 61 degrees, gorgeous sunshine. This is the WIB Wake-Up Show.
And we've got a congressional candidate on the line with us here, WWIB. Derek Van Orden is one of the two Republican candidates competing for the chance to be on the ballot in November for the 3rd Congressional District seat, which has been represented by Democrat Ron Kind since 1997. Derek, good morning.
Good morning, and how are you doing?
Doing fine. Now, you're from Hager City. Where are we talking to you from today?
Well, today it's Hager City.
All right.
Nice.
We've been all over the road, and it's funny because we're doing, in politics, they call it doing doors, and that's where you go knock on people's doors and get barked at by dogs. I almost had a heart attack yesterday. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah.
Always a good time.
It is. And we're like, hey, so who do you guys listen to for radio? And they said, your station. And I was like, right on. So we gave you a ring and said, hey, we haven't talked to him yet. Let's do this thing. So that's what we did yesterday. But your reach is all over the place. And it's fantastic that God's word is getting out on a daily basis. It's very important to our country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit. For candidates and other folks, we do this thing called rapid fire. So.
All right, so okay. Derek Van Orden, our guest. So here's the deal, Derek. We put 60 seconds on the clock and try to ask as many get-to-know-you questions as we can, all of which can be answered in just a few words or less. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, rapid fire with candidate Derek Van Orden, congressional candidate of the 3rd District. Here we go. Where's your favorite place in the state of Wisconsin?
Wherever my wife is.
Do you sing along with the radio?
Who doesn't?
Best kind of potato chips?
Dill pickle.
What's the last book you read?
The Bible. It was this morning.
Have you ever cried during a movie?
Come on. Of course.
How do you eat an Oreo?
I don't.
Have you ever had a nickname, and if so, what was it?
The one I can say on radio is Van O. I'm sorry, the other one is Van Ordnance, because I was very good at explosives.
What's your favorite superhero?
Jesus.
If you had a day off, not knocking on doors, what's the first thing you'd do?
Have a cup of coffee with my wife.
Messy or neat desk?
Messy.
Three ice cream toppings, what do you choose?
Raspberries, and that's about it, really.
I
eat vanilla ice cream, man.
Nice.
Derek Van Orden, congressional candidate, 3rd District. That's rapid fire. How it's done.
Jesse Evans' opponent, they just squared off in a debate on Friday. I thought two excellent candidates squared off. And again, Democrat Ron Kind and Dr. Mark Newman challenging him, and they'll have a debate Thursday coming up. And the early voting this week, and then the primary is actually a week from today. So one of the things that certainly stands out about you is that you're a Navy SEAL. Tell us about that.
Yes, I was a Navy SEAL for quite a long time, and I started off as a young man and grew into my trade. That's really, people don't think about it this way, but being a Navy SEAL is, you're a tradesman. You go through the apprentice journeyman and master level stuff, and I was fortunate enough to have a long career, and I wasn't injured too badly throughout the years, so I could stay for quite a while. I did that for, I was in the Navy for 26 years and 21 as a SEAL, but I was incredibly thankful to be able to serve with some of the finest men and women that this nation produces. We forget that SEALs are, I guess, the general public doesn't understand that SEALs are only really the tip of the spear, but that shaft of the spear and the rest of the surrounding armor, if we're going to use that analogy, is made up with other very dedicated professional men and women. And we work in a joint environment, so that's soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines. Actually, I've worked with Coast Guardsmen, too. But we SEALs cannot do their job unless we have the support mechanism behind us, and that's just like doing this job. I wouldn't be able to go out and do this without the support of my family and my community. So there's great allegories there between the two.
So being a Navy SEAL makes you part of a very, very elite group. So given that you're part of that elite group, how do you identify and touch base with your constituents, and how are you involved in your local community?
Well, being part of an elite group is a choice. And I can identify with my community because these folks, and I live on a farm, and I live in a farming community, they have chosen to do what they want to do for a vocation. It's very easy to relate to people because everybody, the vast majority of people, get up every day and they try to do their best at what they can, what they've chosen to do. And that's all SEALs do. It's just a different environment. So SEALs get up in the morning. We try to do everything we can to be the best SEALs. I used to ask myself before I left work every day, what have I done to become a better SEAL? And what have I done to help my nation? And if I couldn't answer those questions off the top of my head, I stayed at work. And Carl, who's my neighbor, farms, he does the same thing. And what have I done to make my farm better? What have I done to make my family better? So people, there's this mystique around SEALs, but all we are is a bunch of very hardworking, dedicated individual Americans. And that translates across the board to the boardroom. It translates over to the fields that I'm surrounded by right now, which are absolutely beautiful. And it translates to the people working at Quick Trip. You know, people, there's this guy, what was his name? Yosh, I can't remember his name. It's something loves sushi, but he's a Japanese sushi chef. And he had a 3-star Michelin restaurant in the Tokyo suburb. Hiro is his name, H-I-R-O. Hiro Loves Sushi is the name of this documentary. And he said, hey, look, you don't have to be proud of your job, but you have to be proud of your work. And that's really something that people don't quite understand. I cleaned toilets for the first 2 years I joined the Navy. I wasn't proud of that job that I had, but I tell you what, those were the cleanest toilets ever because I was always proud of my work. And if more people looked at getting out of the house every day and doing that, the country and the nation and the world would be a better place to live in.
Republican congressional candidate Derek Van Orden, our guest. It's the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIV. Take a quick break. Come back with more.
Here on the WIB Wake Up Show, 3rd District Congressional District candidate Derek Van Orden with us here on WWIB.
And again, his website is vanordenforcongress.com. Early voting continues today and all this week through Friday. And then the primary election is a week from today. Van Orden against Jesse Evan, his Republican opponent. The winner goes to the November ballot. And we'll try to get Jesse on here in a coming day. You know what? We could deal with the issues. People can go to your website and check the issues. I think your biography is fascinating. So I want to start off just, we got 2 minutes, but your mom, you were raised by a single mom. Tell me about that.
Yes, my father can only be described as someone who is not honorable. And he abandoned my mother and my brother and I when I was an infant. I don't remember them being married. So we were raised in abject rural poverty. I mean, like real poverty. By my mother, and our family joke was she was 5 foot nothing and harder than woodpecker lips because she was. And she taught my brother and I a couple very important lessons. I mean, of course, there's a thousand that she taught us, but that really were important to our development. Or number one, you absolutely have to have a work ethic. And number two, you absolutely have to take care of people. And that's what she really
showed us how to do through the way that she loved us and worked very, very hard. I mean, we were latchkey kids for a while, but my mother was such a strong person. She was one of 10 kids, and she was determined to make sure that we had everything we needed. I mean, of course, when you're so poor, you don't understand you're poor. You know, you just don't. And it didn't matter to us because we had a loving home, and we had food on the table and clothes on our back. And so everything I have now, coming from that background, is due to two things. That is the grace of God, first and foremost, and the sweat of my brow. And I'm telling you, I am living the American dream. And people can live the American dream. We look first to God. We seek first the Lord, right? And once we get that, we understand how the world really works. And then we put our shoulder into it, and you will rise. This country is the greatest country that has ever existed on the face of the earth. And the only reason that is because we are truly blessed by God. That's it, man. There's not much else to it. I mean, some things are so simple. You know, ask for forgiveness and you will receive it, right? And that's it. You ask Christ into your heart, you will right then. It's so simple that people refuse to believe it.
I'm just curious, is your mom still alive?
She is not. She passed about 5 years ago.
Last question. What would she think about you being a candidate for Congress?
I think she knows that I truly have a heart for service and that I have a heart for helping people and that I will do anything I possibly can at any time to help people out. And I think she'd be very proud.
All right. The election's a week from today. Early voting. Just your word to voters.
I am the endorsed candidate from the 3rd District. Governor Scott Walker also endorsed my candidacy. And we just got a very big endorsement of Vice President Mike Pence. Formally endorsed our campaign, and both of those guys are incredible men. They walk with God every day, and I could not be more proud to be endorsed by Governor Scott Walker and Vice President Mike Pence for the Republican ticket coming up here August 11th in the primary.
Derek Van Orden, thanks so much.
Yes, sir. You have a great day.
Derek Van Orden, one of the two Republican candidates for Congress. Again, check the website vanordenforcongress.com.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.